Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable. We were left to wonder if number 11, number 19, or number 23 would dress for the home side. I think we begin to have some answers, but it does lead to other questions. Derek, Pat, Rob around the table. Derek, I'll start with you. What do you anticipate this lineup will look like for the Calgary Flames?
Well, I don't like one of the answers.
Yeah.
Matthew Tkachuk being out. I mean, boy, you start to put the lines together without number 19, and I feel like the Flames are forcing it. Not that they have a choice. I mean, he's out.
Yeah.
But you move Sam Bennett into his spot on the left side of the second line with Michael Backlund and Michael Frolik. Okay. The problem is now you leave a hole in your third line where Sam Bennett was playing really well with Mark Jankowski.
Well, he was the best player on that line.
And Garnet Hathaway.
Yeah.
And now Jankowski comes out. Nick Shore goes in. Garnet Hathaway probably moves from the third line to the fourth line. I mean, I'm having a hard time kind of following the balls here, boys. A lot of changes for the Flames tonight, and I guess with the way they've played on home ice for most of the season, maybe change will be a good thing, but certainly being without Matthew Tkachuk isn't.
That, I mean, that right there hurts him. I mean, they play differently when Tkachuk's not in the lineup, and it's too bad that he's hurt because he means so much to this group and so much to the attitude they play with and all that type of stuff. So basically, I mean, Sam Bennett moves into Tkachuk's spot, and if you were to say Tkachuk injured, who's the first guy that you would plug in there? Bennett would probably be the guy for me. He's played with Backlund and Frolik before. I think that he plays a similar brand of hockey as Tkachuk does. So I think that probably makes sense. Sounds like we're looking at a third line or a 3A, 3B line, however you want to look at it. Looks like Shore is going to play with Troy Brouwer and Chris Stewart tonight. And they skated Matt Stajan, Curtis Lazar, and Garnet Hathaway as a line at morning skate today, too. So that's likely what we're looking at, although just projected as it stands right now. Looks like Jankowski's going to sit out as a healthy scratch. He skated late today. Shore came off the ice early, so looks like he'll go in for Jankowski. Glenn Gulletson confirmed Chris Stewart will go in for Matthew Tkachuk in terms of that lineup spot. So it's not all that different. I mean, I think that Tkachuk has been a more important player, but even when Michael Ferland was out there for a little bit, you know, you take one of the top six forwards out of the lineup and have to pull one of the bottom six guys out, specifically Bennett, and that bottom six just doesn't look anywhere near as good when you take a Tkachuk or a Ferland out of the lineup, and this time around it's Tkachuk for who knows how long.
Now, because it was an optional morning skate, we're kind of guesstimating what the bottom two lines are going to look like. We know what the top two lines are going to look like, at least to start the hockey game. And I was starting to get excited about the Flames having everybody healthy again. Christopher Stieg's almost ready to return.
Right.
Thought he might play tonight, but they're going to give him at least one more practice day before they potentially use him for a big game against the Sharks on Friday. And they've got a two-day gap between games there, so gives him a little bit more time. But Meatloaf once said, two out of three ain't bad. But it's also not good for the Flames being without Matthew Tkachuk, especially in a game like this against the Oilers, where I think he could use his net front presence and his energy. And, you know, we're talking about a team that struggles to kill penalties at times. Maybe he draws a penalty or two for you. So it's going to be tougher without him. But you hope that the team says, hey, without that guy, we all have to be better. You hope that's the response you get short term, Rob.
Is there any pressure here on Nick Shore and Stewart? Or is there any pressure here on Brad Treliving in the sense that those are the guys he brought in? I mean, this is why you add depth at the trade deadline, right?
Yeah. Well, if you were to ask Chris Stewart, he doesn't have anything to prove. That's what he told us before he played his first game with the Flames. I see it differently. I don't know if you guys do.
I mean, he was
put on waivers. He was passed over by a bunch of teams. The Flames, you know, rolled the dice on him, and he didn't do anything for me in the first two games that he played. Now's his chance. Now's his chance to win his teammates over and his coaches over and the managers over and the fans over with a good game against the Oilers. He's certainly got the potential to be an impactful player tonight. As for Nick Shore, he's a more interesting guy for me because I thought he looked pretty good in his Flames debut. Hasn't played since then.
Mm-hmm.
But defensively, a guy who I'm told by other players who have played against him can be tough to play against.
I'm really... I'm really interested in seeing Shore again because, you know, younger, and there's plenty of conversation that this guy can be a pretty effective two-way player in the bottom six. I think that what we saw from him in his time in Los Angeles would certainly suggest that is the case, that he has that ability. I liked him, like you, in his first game. You know, the thing with the two acquisitions that the Flames made at the trade deadline is I don't know if it puts a lot of pressure on management. I don't know if it puts a lot of pressure on the GM for these to work out because they brought in two players for a seventh-round draft pick. Essentially, mm-hmm. that's
yeah.
all they gave
yeah, yeah,
up.
Yeah.
One was on waivers and one was a swap with Ottawa. So I don't know if there's a ton of pressure on Treliving for, oh, if these guys don't work out, is that going to look bad on me? I don't know if that's necessarily a big thing. However, I do wonder if you're one of those two players, if you're kind of specifically Stewart. Your point is a good one, Derek, in that, you know, if you're Chris Stewart, you're fighting for your NHL life right now. I mean, he's on an expiring contract, and I don't know if there's a ton of hope that, you know, or a ton of optimism that Stewart is going to be a sought after free agent this summer. And if you're him and you're looking at the tea leaves and saying, okay, guys over 30 don't usually get a lot of love in free agency unless you're a big name, and I was a healthy scratch more often than not in the second half of the season. You know, here's an opportunity for him to go out and say, no, I am going to do everything in my power to up my stock going into free agency. I haven't seen it in the first two games he's played, not at all. But you'd think that would be somewhere in his mindset. Whereas Shore is a restricted free agent. He's not playing for his NHL life the same way. And I think there's a little bit more of a long-term plan with him. But I think that if you're Shore, you're like, I want to stay in the lineup here. I want to go out and show that I deserve to be an everyday player on this team. So I think that the pressures and kind of what's on their shoulders a little bit different for each player. And I think it's a whole lot more dire if you're Chris Stewart. But again, like I haven't seen it in the first two games he's played.
No, and I mean, in his first game, Rob, he was put on the line with Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau. I mean, one of the best lines in the National Hockey League. What more could you ask for? And I guess he had one or two scoring chances in that game. One, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he had a second one. But didn't really do much with that opportunity. So we'll see what he does in a more limited role, playing on the third or fourth line tonight. You'd like to see him bring some energy. You'd like to see him bring some physicality, because he can certainly do those things. He's a pretty good skater for a big guy, and he's a really big guy. You hope he goes to the net and tries to score a greasy goal or make life difficult for Cam Talbot, assuming he's the starting goaltender tonight. But, you know, what I saw from him in the first couple of games certainly didn't give me a lot of hope that he's going to do any of those things. But maybe he surprises me and surprises a lot of people tonight. I think Shore is going to play a solid game and probably make his best case to stay in the lineup. But, you know, once you get Matthew Tkachuk back, once you get Christopher Stieg back, then I think it becomes a numbers game again.
This morning, we played it a little while ago, but this morning Rhett Warner brought up the idea that maybe this team, because of its struggles at home, should have stayed at a hotel. Anybody buying that? Anybody think the Flames should have been at a hotel last night?
Can't hurt. I mean, they've been outstanding on the road. They're 10 games above 500 on the road. They have the second most road wins and points in the National Hockey League, but their struggles at home have just been mind-boggling. I can't figure it out, and clearly I'm not the only one, because if the managers and coaches and players could figure it out, they would. They can't figure it out either. So I don't think it would hurt to try to change something up. Maybe they should wear white jerseys at home. I'm not sure what they should do, but any change might be a good one at this point.
Yeah, I mean, for any of the – they wanted to bring Jobu back after
– Yes, great idea.
Beat Anaheim if they wanted to, you know, do warm-up with their jerseys on backwards. I mean, like, there's a lot of ideas that you could throw out, and it would be tough for me to say that's ridiculous because their home record just
right.
isn't good enough. I mean, I don't know why they are the way they are here on home ice. I know what the symptoms are. You know, you talk about them dipping their toe in the water instead of diving right in, and I think it's a great way of putting it. I don't know why they do that, though, and that is the million-dollar question that nobody seems to be able to answer, because if anybody knew why, then you could come up with solutions in trying to fix it. All we know is what we see and what is different on home ice as opposed to on the road, but I have no idea what's behind it. It's really tough to wrap your head around.
I tried to do my part on Sunday, guys. So you guys know how it is. You're going up to the press box, you get on the catwalk, and then you have to make a decision. You have to turn left or turn right. For 4 years, I've turned right because if you go left, it's wide open, and I'm a little skittish. Okay. I don't like the heights. Mm-hmm. So I go right.
I always go the other way because I love walking over.
Do you?
Oh, I love it.
I don't.
And if you've ever had an opportunity completely off the – and we'll get back to it. But if you ever have an opportunity to watch a power play set up from that vantage point, it is fascinating.
Strap me in and I would really enjoy it. So I always go right because it's there are tarps up and you can't really see, right? So I thought, you know what, I'm going to switch things up here and see if I can change the Flames' luck. So I went left. And
it didn't work.
I was shaking the whole time. My palms were sweating. And I made it across safe and sound. I know there are some people probably unhappy about that. So I tried to do my part. But it is so funny. And they just need a win. And if they can get a win and score some goals so that not only the team feels better about itself, but some individuals maybe gain a little confidence tonight, they still have time to turn this thing around. And I think back to the 2015-2016 San Jose Sharks, who, if I'm not mistaken, and maybe you can look it up quickly, Pat, finished a couple of games below 500 on home ice during the regular season.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But SAP Center has always been a tough place to play, and they figured it out in the playoffs. So they went on a bit of a run to get in, and then they went to the Stanley Cup final. So it's not unprecedented that a team could struggle at home during the regular season, figure it out in the postseason. So the Flames have to take care of their part. They got to win some games and get in, but wouldn't shock me if things turned around, especially the way this building can be in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
San Jose went 18-20-3 on home ice that year and 28-10-3 away from home. They had one of the best road records, if not the best road record in the NHL that year, and one of the worst home records in the NHL.
The opposition tonight are bringing in arguably the best young player in the game, one of the best young players. You can put McDavid anywhere in that category, but he is third in scoring right now, eighth in goals, eighth in assists, but third in scoring. It has been interesting to me, and it's a bias, and I know it's not a hard and fast rule for anybody else, but I have not been thinking about him in the Hart Trophy race because his team is not in a playoff race. What about you guys? Should Connor McDavid be in the consideration for the Hart Trophy?
He probably should be, Rob. But I'm old school like you are. If your team's not a playoff team, you're off my list.
Right.
And, I think there should be exceptions
to every rule.
Now, keep
in mind, in 2002, you and I probably would have been changing our mind with Jerome chasing that,
Potentially.
Potentially,
yeah. I wasn't here, so I get off the hook on that one. But
I think a lot of people in Calgary still believe that Jose Theodore was a deserving winner. Calgary believe
that one's
No, people don't bring that up to this day at all.
Ever. No.
Elliot Friedman told a great story yesterday at the Sportsnet Brightest Star Luncheon about how when Jerome McGinley did not win the Hart Trophy, how a certain someone here in Calgary was calling members of the media saying, "Did you vote for Jerome McGinley?" Trying to figure out why it didn't happen. It was a great story. He had many great stories yesterday. But no, he wouldn't be on my ballot. I don't get a ballot. I get to vote for the Jack Adams for Coach of the Year. I don't get to vote for the Hart Trophy. But he's had an outstanding season. And you could argue he's playing his best hockey right now. And the pressure's off him. The pressure's off the Oilers. But the guy's got 18 goals in his last 19 games.
Yep.
I mean, he was playing well before that stretch, but my goodness, Connor McDavid's been almost impossible to stop of late.
Mm-hmm. I'll play devil's advocate because I agree with you guys. It's tough for me to push a guy for the Hart Trophy that isn't in a playoff spot because I think that is a big time important factor for me.
Can I just add a little caveat to this? Would it be a different conversation for both of you if he was first by 10 or 15 points? Do you know what I mean? He's third.
Yes,
I think it would be a little bit. But if he's running away with it, I wonder if that's... And I even have to admit that for me, it would be a little bit of a different conversation, too.
But to play devil's advocate in the playoff conversation, just to... The definition of the Hart Trophy is most valuable player to his team, and not most valuable player to his team that made the playoffs. Just think about where the Oilers would be this year without Connor McDavid. Just for a second, think how much further down this team would be, the struggles they've had scoring, and just
they'd be
how
looking up at everybody.
It would be like the Oilers of 2013 in a lot of ways if McDavid didn't play there. And
thank
that
God
to
they
me
have
is
them.
Scary.
Otherwise, they might have the most ping pong balls in the NHL draft lottery again. A crazy stat with Connor McDavid, and if you were making an argument for him to be a candidate for the Hart Trophy, this would probably be as good an ammunition as you'd have. He has been in on 44.4% of the Oilers' goals this season.
Yep.
Highest percentage in the league by quite a margin. Johnny Gaudreau's actually second. He's been in on 40.5% of the Flames' goals this season. So maybe he should be in the conversation as well. But, you know, he'd be in my top 10. But if I had to do a short list of three or five,
well, you vote for
he
five,
wouldn't be on.
Right? You vote, it's a list of five you would submit. And I wonder, my guess is he gets a lot of fourth and fifth place votes. That's my guess.
I'm curious, just for fun and putting you both on the spot, who are your one, two, three? Who would be in that order? Who would be your Hart Trophy? And I can go first if you want. But one,
you go
two,
first. I need just a
well,
second.
Well, I would go Kucherov. The one that fascinates me the most is, and I'm just going to do it because I can, is Bergeron. And I would probably be looking at, if you hadn't asked me, I would have blurted it out. Pardon me for while I look up the stat.
Okay, I'm going to give you, are we doing three or five here?
Doing three.
I might surprise you guys a little bit.
Sorry, McKinnon.
Okay, so you're going Kucherov 1, Bergeron 2, McKinnon 3?
Yeah, which right now McKinnon, is he in a playoff spot?
Yes, they are holding on to that spot.
So I'm not being a hypocrite.
I might surprise you guys a little bit.
Right?
I'd go Nathan McKinnon and Sidney Crosby and Taylor Hall.
See, you are, because I don't even think Sidney Crosby's the candidate I would pick from Pittsburgh.
For me...
Who would you go with, Phil Kessel or Evgeny Malkin?
Malkin. Yeah.
For me, it would go 1 McKinnon, 2 Hall, 3 Malkin. Those would be my three right now.
Interesting that we all have...
So I'm the only one that votes for leading scorer.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know why I don't vote for him?
Because the team's too good.
Because his team is so strong.
Yeah, I get
and
that.
I think if you were to... again, the definition...
Stamkos over Kucherov if I were...
And I can see that.
Because he's the real driver on that
line.
See,
and that's why I have Crosby over Malkin. Because I think Crosby's more important to the Penguins than Malkin is.
I can see that too. But understand that here this whole debate was... the whole merit of this debate was... McDavid, does he deserve to be in because he's on a non-playoff team? How close is McKinnon to being on a non-playoff team?
Should
very
they have
close,
a different
right?
award? Should they add an award? Should they add the best player award?
Well, see, is that not the Ted Lindsay Award?
Yes. Yeah. Well, as voted by the peers, right? So they vote on that, NHLPA.
And I won't lie to you, I could see McDavid winning that.
No, if you
or Kucherov.
If you were to ask me to vote on that, Kucherov and McDavid would both be on my short list.
Yeah. Yeah. I always love these debates because I think the wording always leaves it open for interpretation. I think it always leaves it open for interpretation.
And the other factor is, and you hate to admit it, but I think guys that play in the western part of the league get shortchanged. Because I don't think a lot of people on the east stay up to watch these guys. And maybe not when it comes to the Hart Trophy because you're talking about the best players in the game.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the Vezina and the Norris and the Calder and the Selke, I think guys in the Western Conference, especially in markets in the Pacific and Mountain time zones, I don't think they get enough votes from the East, votes they deserve in some cases.
I will always, I don't know if we need to do this, but I will always just say this. This is off the top of our frickin' heads. If I actually sat down and
yes,
spent
thanks
some
for that
time,
disclaimer.
Well, no, because Willie just texts. Well, what about Wheeler? And I'm like, yeah, sure, I can see that.
This is one of the most fascinating years I can remember in this award conversation, because usually there's one guy. Like last year, McDavid won it, and nobody even talked about a debate. Whereas this year, Taylor Hall isn't a top 10 scorer, but where are the Devils without Hall? McKinnon is number 5, but he's number 1 in points per game, I believe, or right up there for points per game. You've got Kessel, Malkin, and Crosby all having great years offensively. What about Gaudreau? What about Claude Giroux? Look at where the Flyers are, guys, and how surprising they are in the bounce-back season Giroux's had.
And they're closer than the Abs, right?
To Will's, exactly. Yeah. To Will's point about Blake Wheeler, if Wheeler doesn't do what he does, moving from wing to center while Scheifele's gone, the Jets aren't fighting for home ice in the first round.
That's what I'm saying, Pat. This is off the top of our heads. If you actually sat down and went through which is what the voters will do, right?
What about Ovechkin? I mean, Ovechkin's going to score 50 again this year.
Yeah, it's overrated.
And you know what? You know who we haven't had on our list, any of our lists?
A goalie.
A goaltender.
Yeah, I know.
And most years, I would have a goaltender on my list.
I think the last couple
this
of years.
This isn't one of those years.
No.
When I look at, there's been plenty of good ones, but there's been no goaltender that has really separated themselves from the pack.
I think Rinne wins the Vezina.
Yeah, I would agree. If I had to pick one, he'd be the guy.
Yeah. But that's going to be a...
Not Eddie Lack?
Wow. That's a low blow, Pat.
Not Eddie Lack. No.
Clear the track.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you. Take a little bit of a break here because at 6 o'clock it'll be wild and woolly and it'll be quite an atmosphere here tonight as the Calgary Flames take on the Edmonton Oilers.
I hope you're right, Rob.
I think it will be. This has been the Daily Flames Roundtable. Yeah, I saw it. Yes. There's write-in votes for Wheeler. And then rightfully so, which to Pat's point, I think makes for a great, but off the top of your head, that's where we went, right off the top of our head. Maybe we'll make it an assignment. We'll come back and everybody will have to, give a thesis on who should win the heart. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, Chris Johnston from Sportsnet will join us, our NHL insider, as well, senior hockey writer. We'll pump out a little truth though next when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.